Life happens fast. Be financially ready. Call Mesiro, 877-MESIROW. It's a Mesiro Monday. Hello, everyone. It's John Hansen here. Noah Block right there from Mesiro. And Noah, I was so glad you guys embraced my stupid idea of October and coming up with the five scariest things you can do financially. I was surprised you said yes, to be honest. It wasn't too hokey for you?
I thought that was a great idea.
Oh, good.
I think you used the word spooky, actually.
Oh, is that worse or better?
Better.
So five spookiest things that you can do for your finances. Okay, it is spooky season. First of all, you love everything you do at Mesiro?
I do. It's a great place to work.
You've been there. You interned in like 2016, right? And
That's right.
There for now almost 10 years.
That's right. It's crazy. Crazy to think about.
Time flies, my friend. But you guys help people kind of holistically on all sorts of financial things. And these five spooky things, which we'll do over the next couple of weeks, kind of run the gamut of all sorts of financial decisions. And your first number spooky thing that you can do financially is what?
The first one is not tracking your spending or following a budget.
I think that's
the most basic thing that people can, you know, skip when they're thinking about their finances.
It's basic, but I bet a lot of people skip it.
They do. And it's one of the hardest things to track is what you're spending on what, when, and how much.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't make a budget, or maybe they make a very loose budget without really diligently going into the numbers. And then I bet that even people that make the budget don't always follow the spending. So, yeah, what do you mean by tracking spending? I mean, how down to the dollar do we have to get here?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of apps that can help with it and can get really nitty-gritty, but we kind of try to be more high level in terms of what's a fixed expense that we know what's, you know, happening month to month. What are the large expenses that are happening month to month, year by year?
So like mortgages, car payments,
property taxes,
yeah,
things like that. And then trying to just kind of lump all the smaller things that we say, you know, what it costs to live your life day to day together, because that's always changing and it's not worth looking at whether you went out to eat or not. So it's really more the bigger ticket items that we focus on and then try to lump everything else together as one.
See, I'm good on the big ticket items. And I think I'm good on like what is my, you know, how much do we spend at the grocery store and going out to eat and some other things. I think where I'm bad, and I bet a lot of people are, is there'll be an expense that comes up and I go, well, that's a random. That doesn't happen every month. And I probably say that 12 times a year.
Right.
And I then don't budget for that. We need to budget for those, oh, that doesn't happen that often, because it does.
Right. And there's always the one-time expense. Whether it's the same thing year over year is unlikely, but, you know, if your, you know, dishwasher breaks down, you need a new one, is 1 year, and the next year you need a new car, right? So those aren't the same thing, but they add up to be, you know, a similar expense over time.
I know that we people have emergency funds for things like the dishwasher or the laundry machine or whatever the case may be. It might almost be just as wise to assume one thing will break each year and budget it over the 12 months, that extra $5,000 or $6,000. That way you don't have to drain from an emergency fund, right?
Right, totally. And I think, you know, one way we think about budgeting, it's actually somewhat counterintuitive, but even more helpful, is actually doing the savings part first.
What do you mean?
So, you know, if you can automate your savings to be at the beginning of the month, whether that's through your paycheck into a 401k, whether that's, you know, automating a transfer from your bank account to a brokerage account and taking care of the investing on the front end, then you kind of know that whatever's left is meant to be spent. And that's a lot easier to control and to track, as if you do the savings first and you can leave whatever's in the bank knowing that that's able to be spent.
Okay. I think that also will maybe limit your spending a little bit. And maybe that's a good thing, that you pay yourself first, do the savings first, and then you only have X amount of dollars left. And you, as you start to budget it, realize that you may need to cut in certain areas, as opposed to, oh, here's what I spend every month. And, oh, I'm saving 9%. That's good. No, right. Reverse that. Save
reverse.
The 30 first or the 20, whatever it is, and figure out the rest.
Right. Exactly. And that way, you kind of also feel more comfortable spending what's in the bank, knowing you've taken care of it. It's not, you know, thinking backwards in a way, how most people think, but we found it to be really successful with the way people think about saving.
I have a couple tips, but you can tell me if they're stupid, okay?
Okay.
This works for me. And maybe this is the ultimate tip. Find something that works for you.
Right.
Right? Because if it helps you track your spending and monitor how's it going, then whatever works for you. Two things I do. I have an email that is sent to my email every morning that tells me my current credit card balance. So I kind of like know during the week, oh, I'm at this. Yeah. And it is annoying when it goes higher than I want it to. And that almost provides like a self hip check to that. The other thing I do is I pay my credit card in full every Friday. I know that can help with credit score. That's a whole other conversation. But it allows me to look at a statement that is 1/4 the size of the statement at the end of the month.
Right.
And it just kind of keeps me a little more honest.
And it might align more with how you get paid, right? So, you know, some people get paid semi-monthly. So paying it off semi-monthly could help kind of align money in and savings. So I think, yeah, totally. I think it's whatever works for people. And some people, what makes sense to one person might not to another. But I think all the budgeting comes down to making sure that you're also saving.
Okay.
And that's kind of the point, is to make a budget to ensure that you're saving 20, 30%, like you mentioned.
You can tell some of the clients that's the John Hanson method.
Special.
Yeah, that's the John Hanson method. Now, you can be like, I heard from this really smart guy, John Hanson. He's just the John Hanson method. Okay, number two, what's the second most spooky thing we can do to our finances?
So it kind of goes off the first, but it's, you know, carrying high interest debt. I think that can be extremely detrimental to growing your wealth, feeling like you're saving.
What do you say is high interest debt? I know credit cards, but like, what's a number of like, what's a spooky number to you for an interest rate?
I think a spooky number is in double digits, right? Okay. So credit cards can be 18 to 25%, somewhere in that range. Personal loans, things like that could be in the low teens. So I think anything double digits is spooky to me.
I feel the same way, simply because also anything double digits now that's outpacing the average S&P year, right? Like if I have my mortgage is 5.6, which is higher than my last mortgage of 2.9, but that's a sore subject I don't want to talk about. So I'm at a 5.6, which is not bad overall. But I feel okay with it only because I know that if I have my money, in theory, and I'm investing in the long run, I can make, what, 9.5 on the S&P if you go every year.
Right.
But you're going above that, now you're playing a losing game.
Right. And that's what we always look at is, are you better off investing the money or, you know, accruing the interest rate?
Mm-hmm.
That's whatever it is on the debt. And that's why I say the double digits, because in the long term, it's hard to achieve more than a double digit return on your money. So that interest rate is actually eating away at even what you're earning. So getting those paid down or not getting into them in the first place, if possible, is really important to keep you on the right track.
Okay, let's say you got a couple different credit cards, and one is at 24%, one's at 18%, one's at 20%. Some people will say, attack the highest interest one first. Other people will say, attack the lowest balance so you feel like you did something. I guess this is another, there's no wrong answer here.
Yeah, no, that's, I think, like people's behavior and what they want to do. But, you know, my approach would be attack the highest rate first, not the highest balance, because you got to think of it all as one debt, whether it's on three cards or one card. And the highest debt rate is the one that's costing you the most money. So paying that down first really makes sense.
How about consolidation? Are there options for that?
There are options for that. And sometimes people can get a better rate when they consolidate. I haven't seen it too much, and I haven't seen the rate be that much better that maybe it's not worth the hassle of going through that process. But I have seen it, and you know, if it makes sense for somebody to just go from 3 to 1 so that they have one thing to deal with, not three, that could make sense too. So again, personal preference there.
I know some people like to open up a 0% card over 15 months and do a balance transfer, which comes with a fee or comes with a percentage. And I feel like that's a great thing if you're disciplined and you don't then use that 0% in another way.
Right. That's exactly right. And that's kind of the theme we're seeing with the growth of those, you know, buy now, pay later ideas. Right.
Everywhere.
We're everywhere. And I saw that you could go to Lollapalooza and do a buy now, pay later
with
ticket.
Klarna or whatever.
With Klarna. So I think that's kind of that idea where you have 0% interest rate for however long it is, 18 months. But if you do that and then buy another thing on it, then all of a sudden you've racked up this debt that at one point you have to pay back, whether it's at 0% rate or not.
If you buy everything on Klarna, your life is just always, it's the exact same thing. It all evens out to the same expenses, but now you're taking the risk on of adding interest to it.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, and kind of kicking the can down the road.
Anything else about high interest debt that you want to make sure we know?
No, I just want to emphasize that that's always the first thing we ask when somebody comes to us is, do you have high interest debt? Do you have credit card debt?
Judgment free.
Totally judgment free. And sometimes we'll take, you know, some of their investments and say, let's sell that and let's pay down that debt because our return expectation is lower than what this interest rate is.
I had a colleague of mine, I won't say who, and it's not here, so do not worry, it's not Iridian. It's no one here in the building. But this colleague was new in the workforce, and they were really proud that they were maxing out their 401k and their match and all that. Like, they were doing great, and I was like, wow, that's awesome for someone, and we'll get into making sure you retire save early. Excellent. But they had, like, $22,000 in credit card debt.
Yeah.
And I had to be like, get your match, of course, right? That's free money you're leaving on the table.
Right.
And I think it's great to put 22% of your whatever the income was into 401k. But oh my goodness, pay down that credit card debt first.
Right. It would be shocking to see how many people come to us with, you know, $1 million and credit card debt. And
then like $1 million in the bank or an asset somewhere?
Yeah, an asset somewhere and also carrying credit card debt, and that's always the first thing we want to knock out and get rid of.
Yeah, if you've got the assets.
It's a huge hindrance.
Yeah, I think sometimes people like the safety net of where they could be in the future and are okay with the what seems like short-term, this is an issue,
right.
Not realizing that very often those short-term issues become long-term issues.
That's right.
Look at me. I'm knowing some stuff, Noah.
You really are.
That's an endorsement there. Mesero.com is where you can go for more. 1-877-MESERO. We're going to chat more with Noah Block next week. Want to live well? Then you need to plan well. A Mesero advisor can help you create a financial plan that fits your life. Call Mesero at 877-MESIROW.